Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready to awaken to the truth of your soul? Welcome to today's episode of the Nadia Khalil Morning Show with your host, Nadia Khalil.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to today's show. Today is Friday the 11th. We had a Friday the 13th just a while ago. Now we have a Friday the 11th, and it is already almost the middle of May, and today we have questions. I have a question that's anonymous, and it's a pretty good one. It's long, and it's deciding that it's going to take a life of its own, so let's go for it, because I think we've all had a time in our lives when we have run across something like this. She says, I can't stand rumors, and even though it has been 8 years since a rumor was spread about me, it has come to my mind about 5 times since then. You see, I discovered as time passed that these two people are Facebook friends. Each time I stopped myself from emailing the person who spread the rumor, but yesterday something came over me and I sent her a message. It really surprised me that she instantly lied. Her response was that I got it wrong. I didn't respond, nor do I plan to. I said it, and I feel done with it. I don't really need to speak to either one of them about it further because I wanted them to know they were caught speaking about me. I wanted the person who spread the rumor to know that there's two sides to every story and that I discovered that she's the one that spread the rumor. The funny thing is that the person who told her this had absolutely no reason because I only showed her nothing but generosity, love, and compassion. It bothered me that the person I emailed spread this without even speaking to me. Why these were her intentions, I have no idea. My question to you, Nadia, is that my life is pretty amazing. Money's a bit tight, but God is so present in my life. And thank you, Nadia. My question is that, was this okay to confront her even though 8 years had passed? I do feel great about it, like I caught someone red-handed. God bless you and thank you. To tell you, it always feels good to say a truth you're holding on to. I don't care if it was because of a rumor or someone was angry at you or someone got it wrong or someone really thinks you did something or whatever it was. It always feels good to confront when you get to the point that you don't need anything back from it. Because then you can be objective. You're not in it for the fight. You're not in it for the war. You're in it because it's time for you to clean out whatever you're carrying. She may have instantly responded because usually when somebody has something in them, and they usually do these things to other people, like talk about others, spread rumors, do those kinds of things. They also are instant deniers, and it's easy to deny. Sometimes it happens so much in their lives that they actually forget who they've done it to or how many people it has happened to. And so by the time you come in with something from 8 years ago, they're like, what the heck are you talking about? Or you go to somebody who hurt you when you were younger and they say the same thing. They don't know what you were talking about. And it's when you say something, like let's say it just happened, and it happened maybe a month ago and you were out at a party and then you left the party and you started hearing these things about you and you knew they weren't true and you found out who it was and you confronted them. It would be much more fresh in their mind, and they would still be in the thick of it, you know, and still the energy of it going around. Other people will remember it. But 8 years, man, what a patient person you are. But the fact that you held it in and kept it for so long, and it didn't really bother you, but it would come up every once in a while. The fact that it would come up is telling you that something was wrong there. Otherwise, it wouldn't keep coming up. Because when we are hurt by anything, by anyone when we are upset and it's not solved, when we didn't finish something. It sticks around until you do. Because your whole job in life is to get to everything. Bed, and you felt like you've done everything you needed to do. You just felt like you finished it all. You did it all. That's what it feels like once you just say to somebody, hey, you know what? That wasn't cool. The person might say, well, I never did that, whatever. But you say, all right, but, you know, this is how it came back to me. It's okay. You may or may not have done it. I'm not accusing you, but it dwindled down to you. And I'm sorry that I have to bring this up, but I kind of am doing some personal cleaning, and I just wanted you to know I knew. And even on top of that, it's cool. I just wanted you to know I knew. Now, if the person were somebody who didn't do it, a lot of times they try to get in touch with you and tell you or apologize if they did. But if they didn't, they would also let you know, hey, you know what? I'm really sorry you felt that way. I don't know who did that, but it wasn't me. Or you say, you know what, I did that, and I'm really sorry. That was a long time ago, and I was pulling stuff like that, and I'm not really pulling that anymore. There's so many ways to respond. But if our first response is a defense, there's something going on in that person's life that lends them to having these kinds of episodes or dramas happen in their lives. Because I was talking to somebody who, you know, they just recently broke up with the person they were with, and they were trying to tell me about the person's life. And, you know, the person is 60 or older now, and as they were telling me about the person's life, every single story ended in how someone left her, and they left her high and dry, and she went from being really rich to being really broke. Every single story, whether it was her family, then it transferred to her husband, then it transferred to her business partner. Same scenario over and over and over again. And all I could think was, oh, you know what? Theme of this person's life. They believe that everybody did something to them, but they don't even realize the magnet that they were pulling these scenarios into their world. What this person went through, someone might have gone through once in their life. She went through it three times. Is it good or bad? No. Just means she went through it three times, but that's all she knows. Every time you talk to her, that's all she talks about. And so what happens to the people around her that she meets? They all want to be the person who sticks it out with her. Suri says she's not somebody who makes it through, whether it's you or fill in the blank of who else it was. And you just have to wish the person well. You can help them. You can tell them that, hey, you know what? I know this has happened to you. Instead of saying, I'm sorry and it will be different, say, I hope that you have learned enough to not allow this to continue happening in your life for as long as you live. And when I hear about rumors, because, you know, anyone who works in an office, anyone who goes to high school, anyone who's involved in church groups, anyone who's involved in any group, there is somebody there that lends themselves to watching everybody and to picking on the people they watch, or feeling a little bit of jealousy towards what the other people are doing, wishing maybe that was them, maybe they got that recognition, maybe they were the ones that people admired and talked about. But in a really weird way, rumors are like a backhanded compliment. Because that means someone's paying attention to you. Someone can see that you're happy. Someone can see that you're okay within your own skin. Someone's paying attention. I remember once, because I'm not a good rumor spreader, and I don't really have that in me. I don't pay attention to stuff. I don't need to put people down or anything like that. And I was at a party, and there was a woman there, and this was years ago. Gosh, I want to say maybe at least about 20. And I was just visiting. I was in Chicago. I was visiting from California. My kids were little, and, you know, Thoddick at the time was still in a diaper. And he was playing in a pool, and he jumps in with his diaper on, and his diaper explodes because, you know, Trunks probably would have been better. He just didn't tell me he wanted to go in the pool, and all the stuff's floating around the water, and we had to clean the water. It was a small pool, and we were going through all these things, and we were laughing, and, you know, my sister was there, and my other sister was there, and our kids were all together, and it was just a lot of their friends that I was meeting for the first time. So then at the end of the day, once we've cleaned up and we went inside, and this lady asked me if I wanted a drink. I didn't know her. I hadn't met her the whole day. And I said, oh, you know, no, thank you. I don't drink. She goes, oh, you don't drink. And she was like making fun of me for not drinking. But I didn't realize that drinking was an issue for her. So when I said I didn't drink, I was just thanking her for asking me and letting her know, you know, that there was nothing I wanted from the bar. The next morning, the things I heard about myself all went back to that woman. I saw her again later. And I never said anything because I found out that she had a problem with alcohol. It was starting to get out of hand. She was really sensitive to the fact that I didn't drink because she didn't want to drink anymore, or at least not the way she was. And I never did confront her. Even when I saw her the next time, I thought to myself, I wonder if she even remembers. And a lot of times, substance has to do with what people do, especially on Facebook. Because Facebook is one of those things, you're sitting there. You're either eating, you're drinking, you're watching TV, you're doing something. And your computer's on. And if you hear a ping, it gets your attention and all of that stuff. So what happens to us? You know, we get a little carried away with ourselves, but we emulate the things we do in everyday life. We emulate it on Facebook. If there's anyone you want to know, take a look at their page. Take a look at their pictures. Take a look at what they do. Because they're telling you, this is who I am, this is how I want to represent myself, this is how I represent myself. If you see a lot of arguments on their page, or a lot of explanations why they did this, why they did that, and all these long things, they have a lot to work out. And most of the time, the rumor mill type of personality, they're doing that a lot. The one thing I love about Facebook is that it shows us who we are in writing. It's like, you know, everyone thinks they can hide or hide behind a computer or only put up certain kinds of pictures or whatever it is. But then there's that day where you meet each other. And then you find out that gut feeling you had in the beginning, when you liked somebody, you find out why. Enough to have met them. But I've learned, because I've met in the beginning, before the summits, before the radio show, way before it, because this is now the fourth year of the show, actually over 4 years now. But before that, before the show, before I started meeting people, you know, the people we know and all of that, was I met other people, just like one-on-one from Facebook here and there, and I really enjoyed those meetings. They were fun. They felt like we already knew each other, and it was weird seeing them physically, like literally just seeing them physically. And I'm like, wow, it's just weird, like you're talking and you're walking. And I remember when I first met Lilo Massé, when she was going to interview me, and I'm standing next to her, and she's 6 feet tall, barefoot, Lilo. She's a tall woman. She's beautiful. She's a big woman. Not heavy, big, though, like big bone tall. And I was next to her, and I kept looking at her because she wasn't just a head. She had a whole body. It was just really interesting, really amazing. And then I met other people, and I was just amazed. Nobody that I met, any of that in them, but I already knew that before I got there. Some I've lost touch with. It's impossible to keep in touch with everybody. But there were some that before I met them, and I was planning to meet them, and I met them, or didn't end up meeting them, there was a problem before we got there. There was something they wanted that I didn't understand or didn't know what it was. Some wanted to just bring me in and have me solve their problems, and I would tell them, you know, well, I actually do that, but I charge for it because otherwise I'd be doing it all day long, and I don't have the time, and I also couldn't afford to not pay for my services or have my services paid for. And they got mad, didn't even want to see me. When I told them, okay, you know, that this is what I do for a living, and I don't know them. And the minute they knew, they did that. So I can only imagine what they've said about me later. But could you imagine them saying, well, you know, she wanted us to pay her. Like, what kind of person is she? But it was just when I was starting to feel like, hey, I have to do something. And I have to stand up for myself. And when I stood up for myself, I realized it was people like that that made me feel bad about doing that. I didn't understand why people went to work and they got a paycheck and no one talked about them. But it was a beautiful knowing that these are people I would never want to meet. And on Facebook, if there's people that hurt your feelings, inflict fear, doubt, worry, control, or guilt on you, you have the option of blocking them. And that whole blocking feature puts you in a weird spot because, in a way, you don't want to hate, you don't want to disrespect, but you have to protect yourself from that energy and not protect out of fear. Just why would you include that in your day? Why would you let that be a part of your day? I've had someone block me. Grateful that she did. And she did spread rumors about me, and they weren't true. And I knew they weren't true. And I knew in her heart she knew they weren't true. And I didn't even need to confront her. A few years later, after the incident, she wrote me and said she missed me. She passed by a restaurant we used to go to, and she missed going there. Now, I never even replied. That was my answer. Because I didn't want to say, hey, you know what, I miss it too. She went to everyone we knew and said something that I know she knows wasn't true. It also happened in the car accident. The people lied. It wasn't true. But for me, thinking about that, I think, holy cow, they have to live with that. I know the truth. And I can't change people. I can't walk around and I don't have a magic wand. And I know you don't. But this question deserves a half hour answer. Because we all have someone who said or has done something that was unfairly said about us. Look at the leader of the United States. Look at all the stuff people said about him. He's so unfazed that he just says, that's fake news. And to him, it's his way of shutting it down. He could care less who said it and what they said. By now, no matter what anybody says, they get the same answer. He's coined the term, fake news. And then he cuts the person up and talks about them as though they're just a little mouse. Just a little mouse in the house, and they're out now. And we're watching this. And now we're starting to see other things that are happening that he's actually doing that no one's been able to do yet. So I say, wait the 4 years. Because his intentions, even though it looks really crazy on the outside, we haven't learned yet. When somebody comes to you and says things like that and it's directed at you, you have the right to say, and everyone's trying to get their time to say, hey, but this is what really happened, and it's falling on deaf ears because the impact of the rumors, the impact of the action is so big that it dwindled down.